Our third scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and I will be reading verses 32 through 40. And Jesus says this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed and ready for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them prepared and ready for him, blessed are they. But know this, if the owner of the house had not known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I discovered a curious thing this week as I was getting ready for this sermon. So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit for many, many weeks now. And I remembered that somewhere deep in the recesses of my memory, I taught a bunch of Vacation Bible School kids. You know, we memorized the fruit of the Spirit. So the list of the fruit of the Spirit that lives buried in the back of my mind says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But that's not what it says in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which is what we use here at Second. That list says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, one version says goodness, another version says generosity. I found that very curious, word nerd that I am. Of course, I want to know what's up with that. So I decided it was time to do a little investigating and to see what other translations of the Bible said. Did they say goodness or did they say generosity? So here's what I found. The New International Version says goodness. The Living Bible says goodness. The English Standard Version says goodness. The New American Standard Bible says goodness. The King James and the New King James both say goodness. Bible translations I have never even heard of that I discovered doing this, they all say goodness. But not the NRSV, not the version that we use here. It says generosity. So I thought, aha, there's something more to this. There's more digging that we need to do because we have this mystery on our hands. So I dusted off this fancy book that probably only preachers are very interested in, called an Interlinear Bible. What that is you open it up, and on the top line is a verse in the original language, Greek or the Hebrew. And then underneath it is this word-by-word translation of what the Greek or the Hebrew says. So I found that the word in question is called agathosune. I'm going to try to say that many times without stumbling over it this morning. Agathosune. And according to Strong's Concordance, agathosune means... drum roll, please. Goodness. It totally rolled my eyes when I saw that. But there we have. So it goes on to say it's not just goodness, but it goes on to say that it refers to intrinsic goodness, especially as a personal quality, with stress on the kindly rather than the righteous side of goodness. So agathosune is goodness which comes from God, a spiritual, moral excellence disposed to be kindly or generous toward others. And in my digging, I also discovered something I think is kind of cool. Agathosune, as far as scholars can tell, is a word that only is used in the Bible. They can't find it in any other secular Greek writing of the time. Only in the Bible. And it's only used four times in the New Testament. So all of this piled on top of each other leads me to believe that there's something very unique about this character of the fruit of the Spirit. There's something very sacred about generosity toward others. Part of the reason why we've been reading through this whole fruit of the Spirit, going through this naked fruit sermon series, it's to consider how the fruit of the Spirit is really about more than just being nice to other people. I think nice is kind of a vanilla word, kind of wishy-washy. We kind of use it to describe everything. When you use it to describe everything, it kind of ends up describing nothing. It doesn't have much meaning to it. And the fruit of the Spirit, as we have heard so far, is about way more than just being nice. But nice is the word that we often use. It's kind of it's just not one of my favorite words. It's kind of like the word goodness. Goodness is kind of this flimsy, hard to understand, hard to pin down kind of word. It's hard to really get our hands around it. But the spiritual, moral excellence of generosity toward others, we know what that's about. We know what generosity feels like. We know what generosity looks like. And we also know what generosity does not look like. So as a postscript, I'm sad to say that I never actually figured out why the NRSV seems to be the only Bible in the entire world that translates this word as generosity instead of goodness. But I'm kind of glad they did, because generosity is something we can really wrap our heads around in a way that I don't know that we can about the word goodness. Because if there's one thing that God is, it is generous. It is agathosune. Our passage from Luke, which I just read, puts it this way. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He's going to give us the kingdom for free, for nothing. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't even have to deserve it. Because God is generous, he will give it to us. Because he loves us that much. And that is special, sacred generosity, to give us something which cost him so much. So what do we do in response to this gift that he is freely giving to us? We are to be generous to others, as God has been generous to us. Acting kindly toward others in this unique God-given way. Which sounds all well and good, right? We kind of like being generous to other people, especially when somebody has been generous to us, except for us, when we start talking about generosity, that usually means we're talking about money and possessions. Sometimes we get a little funny when we start talking about money. It's hard to be generous when you're afraid you won't have enough. And that seems to be the problem that Luke is writing to in his gospel. That's why he starts verse 32 with the encouragement, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Kind of sounds like the folks Luke is writing to is having some issues with fear, specifically maybe this preoccupation with material things, storing up treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. And one person I read this week writes this about the passage from Luke, and I thought it was very interesting. I've been chewing on it for a while. He says, everyone, of course, protests that he or she only wants enough. But no one knows how much is enough until one has too much. Ain't that the truth? You don't know if you ever have enough till you have too much. And so in our world of boxes stuffed in our attics and our basements and our junk rooms and outdoor mini storage units, it is clear we have more than enough. You probably have too much. I have boxes in my house that I have not opened and not touched for however many months I've been here yet. I have too much. I couldn't even tell you what's in there. I can tell you I haven't needed it for 4 months now. But what do? We justify it, and we rationalize it, and we say if we can afford it, and if we can still do some good for someone who's in need, then what's the harm in another bigger TV, or the latest iPad, or another vacation, or a few new items of clothing? I got a great price on everything. What's the harm? Well, Jesus says the harm is that what we're actually doing is storing up treasures on earth, not in heaven. We're making a purse that will wear out as quickly as technology becomes outdated. And the way we store up stuff says we're putting our trust in material things, not in God. This is the opposite of agathosune. It's the opposite of generosity. And Jesus knows that where our money and our possessions are, there our hearts will be. Where our money and possessions are, there our attention will be, and our dedication will be, and our interest in success will be. And so he's saying if our money and our possessions, our attention and our dedication and our success, if they're all tied up in earthly things, that's where our heart is. Not in the unfailing treasure of heaven. That shows a lack of trust in God, a lack of interest in the kingdom, and a lack of generosity toward those in need. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Normally what happens when I preach this passage of scripture, or when it comes up in a Bible study that I'm leading, here's what happens. We all feel terribly guilty, right? I won't ask you to show your hands to say if you're feeling guilty this morning. I guess if you're anything like me, you are. And because we spend time thinking about all the junk in the basement or in the attic or wherever you stick your stuff. So we feel terribly guilty for all the stuff that we have squirreled away. And when we read this story, we see the sense of what Jesus is saying. And we admit, yes, we have too much stuff. And we resolve that we're going to do better, right? We always feel like we're going to do better on Sunday afternoon. Then Monday morning rolls around. Maybe the next week, to make ourselves feel a little better, we throw a little bit of extra money in the offering. Later, we're a little bit more generous the next time we give to someone in need, trying to make up for our previous lack of generosity. Maybe, if you're feeling really ambitious, if I'm being very persuasive this morning, maybe you will leave today thinking, all right, a yard sale it is. I'm going to go through my house. I'm going to clean out everything I don't really need. We're going to have a big yard sale, and all the proceeds, I'm going to give it to someone in need. But does the yard sale ever really happen? Most of the time, not. Most of the time, we put off taking action on this because other things seem more urgent. Other things come up and get our attention. So this idea, which seemed like such a good idea in church on Sunday morning, it's kind of on the back burner, and then it kind of falls off the back of the stove altogether, and suddenly you forget all about it. And our stuff remains, all of our treasures on earth that prevent us from trusting God and being generous to others. And you know, we all do it. We all start out with good intentions. We all start out with a plan, and generally things sort of fizzle out. And because everybody else fizzles out, that makes us feel better. Because at least we're not the only one who's fallen down on the job here. Oh, but I had a terrible thought this week. Or maybe I read it in a book. I'm not quite sure. At any rate, it's been bothering me, so I'm going to inflict it on you this morning, hoping maybe I will feel a little better once it's out there. So gird up your loins and get ready for this one. What if Jesus really meant what he said about this? What if this isn't just his suggestion to us? Like we sometimes interpret what Jesus says to us. We take it as a suggestion. If you're feeling so inclined, this would be a good thing to do. But what if he actually meant this as a command? Sell your possessions and give alms. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. What if Jesus really expects his disciples, both those who followed him back in the days of Luke and the disciples who follow him today, what if he really expects us to do this? To be and to do and to live in this special sacred word, which means God-given generosity which overflows onto other people. This idea which only comes from God, which can only be found in the Bible. What happens if God's really serious about what he's saying? Jesus wants our hearts to be with those who are in need, not buried under a pile of boxes full of stuff we don't really need. But if that's where our money and possessions need to be, that's where our hearts will be. Jesus is saying all these things after he has set his face toward Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross, and he is feeling the immenseness and the urgency of his imminent death. So that now the time for discipleship 101 is over. This is the 501 class. He is thinking in eternal kingdom-sized terms. He's looking for the big picture of what is really needed and necessary in life. And for him, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom which God is pleased to give freely to his children. I'm pretty certain if Jesus was standing here today, he would say, get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. Sell your possessions, anything you don't need, and help those who really are in need. Cast off the burden of fear and anxiety and piling up treasures on earth that you don't really need, and trust me. Trust that I am generous, and trust me that I will give you everything you need. Oh, and by the way, Jesus would add, all you really need is the kingdom. Jesus is speaking in these great cosmic kingdom terms, but our puny little finite minds, we only want to think in earthly terms. If having too much stuff gets in the way of trusting God fully and holding on to Jesus Christ, the true vine, for dear life, if having too much stuff keeps us from being full of agathosune toward those in need, maybe it really is time to do something about it. The rest of this passage in Luke includes two parables, urging watchfulness and preparedness for Jesus' return. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we really watching and waiting for him? We're busy piling up boxes in the basement. The time is now, Jesus says. Like a thief in the night, he will return. So be dressed and have your lamps lit. Be ready to go. God wants us to live a life sweetened by the fruit of the Spirit. A life that is intent on remaining connected to the vine. A life that lived in order to bear fruit for others. A life of agathosune, God-given special generosity. A life that is as generous to others as God has been to us. The time is now. Be ready to go. Don't worry about packing a bag or a box, because God is calling you to travel light through this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.